Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated 38 plus years now, a radio presence. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your modest host. Of course, I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion, award-winning writer. So allegedly, I know something about the sport of boxing, but I'm sure you know more. So therefore, I'm going to throw this toll-free number out there if you'd like to join and be part of the show. 1-800-878-7529. That's right. We're on live for 2 hours, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Live for 2 hours Eastern Daylight Savings Time, of course, here in the United States. But 2 hours beginning right now. The open phone lines again around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio. The text number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Let me invite you to the sixth edition of WBC TV. Of course, we're coming to you by, brought to you in part by the World Boxing Council, the Honorable Mauricio Suleiman, the president. He's telling me that they're doing a worldwide tribute to Marvin Hagler at the WBC website. Of course, that's WBCboxing.com. We'll get into Hagler's career in depth a little bit more today. Of course, his passing a week ago, but also talk about, and we'll bring in Virgil Ortiz, 17-0, 17 wax. Of course, takes out Maurice Hooker last night in the seventh round. Hasn't went past the seventh round yet as a professional. Hooker now 27-2, three draws and 19 wax. Bottom line is he was outgunned. He brought a knife to a gunfight. You don't do that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. We're coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Check us out. This is Ring Talk, baby. But you know that.
That you talk really knocks.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name of the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
We all need health care, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Talked to Don King briefly this morning. Called him up.
Yeah.
Did you feel like doing some radio today?
No.
That was it. That was the end of the conversation. Hung up on it. He said like three words. Bottom line is, he seems to be feeling well. I talked to him a couple days ago. I mean, he seemed lucid. I mean, he's going to be 90 years old, I think, in August. So he seemed real lucid. He seemed sharp. Of course, he was ranting on and on how he was a victim. So I knew Don King was in. He was Don King, being the victim, no doubt about that. Last night, guess who was the victim? Maurice Hooker. Man, I'm going to tell you. Virgil Ortiz, of course, 17-0, 17 knockouts. Hasn't went past the seventh round yet. Of course, a TKO winner in the seventh round last night over Maurice Hooker. Of course, Hooker, a former 140-pound champion. But I'm going to tell you like this. Had Hooker been really disciplined, had he really been the guy, he'd have been fighting at 135 or 130 pounds. I'm just telling you like it is, because when you're tall and lanky and you can't put on armor, you gotta go down, because you can't take it. You know where I'm coming from? I'm Diego Corrales. 130 pounds, he was fine, of course, till he ran into Floyd Mayweather, but, and of course, he wasn't mentally or physically together for that. He was ready to go to jail, but bottom line is, he was a tall, lanky guy. He got down in weight to the lowest possible weight. Maurice Hooker didn't do that. Fought at 140 pounds. Of course, he got starched at 140 by Mr. Ramirez. Got starched last night. Actually, he didn't get starched last night. The shoulder went out or his elbow went out. But the bottom line was, it was a nice time to end the fight. I mean, it was a nice time to fight. He wasn't really severely hurt. And I don't want to listen. He was beaten. And like I said before, once you're beaten in a fight, once the fight's like non-competitive, why go on? Are you that barbaric that you want to see somebody get pummeled some more? I mean, you don't need to see that. This is an athletic contest. Once it's over, competition-wise, the fight should be over. Guys shouldn't have to take prolonged beating. Once again, Maurice Hooker now 27-2, 3 draws, 19 KOs. I suggest a comeback at 135, trying to stretch his skinny butt down to 130. The co-feature, and I'll get to her a little bit later in the show, Senencia Superbad Estrada. What can I say about this woman except that she's like Hector Camacho, female. A female Hector Camacho. She's the macho man. I mean, she talks smack. She's good smack. She makes sense. She fights left-handed, right-handed. She's got some of the best foot feints I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, when you get foot feinted, how can I put this? She just was convincing. With all of her aspects of the fight game last night, she was convincing. I think she's 20 and zip now with like, 8 knockouts. And of course, the girl that she fought was no stiff. I mean, Annabelle Ortiz came in at 31-3, left at 31-4. Annabelle's shortcoming was, I think she was a 102-pound fighter fighting a 95-pound fighter fighting at 102 pounds. And the size really matters. I know I keep saying this week after week, show after show, but size matters in two things. Pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. Last night, Estrada looked 2 or 3 weight classes bigger than the defending champion. It was a WBA minimum weight champion. Of course, that fight went to distance. The scores were 100 to 89 times 2, and then 99 times 90. Bottom line is it was a shutout. Good fight, no doubt about that, from Miss Superbad Estrada. We'll hear from her in hour number 2. Now back to Mr. Ortiz. Where does he fit in the welterweight picture? I mean, seriously. You've got Errol Spence. You've got Terrence Crawford. I mean, these guys are the supposed two studs, but I think that I saw Spence again last night. I'm telling you, I think Spence smokes a lot of weed. I was just looking at Errol last night. Every time I see that brother, he looks like he's got one of them Oakland buzzes, like he's smoking the chronic or something like that. So maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe he just looks sleepy. Hector Martinez says he just looks sleepy. You're the weed guy. He's not the weed guy. Anyway, bottom line is Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford, both ringside last night, of course, for this win by Ortiz. And speaking of Ortiz, let's see what he had to say post-fight.
Virgil, congratulations. You shared a moment there with Maurice Hooker. What did you say to each other?
You know what? I wanted to thank him for giving me this opportunity. You know, I wanted to fight at 140. You know, I felt like I could beat him, and you know what? He didn't have to take this fight. I'm not to give myself a big head. I feel like I'm a problem at 147. He didn't have to take this fight on his first 147 fight, but you know, I give him props.
You had said coming in this was the toughest test of your career, and it felt like we were watching the best performance of your career. How did you feel in there?
I felt like I did pretty good. You know, there's always room for improvement. Always, you know, I felt like I could have done a lot of things better. But I mean, overall, I think I did okay.
This was a knockout win for you, but this was a tough fight. You can see by the markings on your face. What was Maurice Hooker showing you early?
He was showing me that he was durable. Definitely, he could definitely take a punch. He really could. He was smart. He was trying to get around my guard. I knew what to do.
What was the game plan coming in?
The game plan coming in was just to slow him down because I knew he was going to want to box. He wouldn't want me to stay inside. I neutralized it.
You wound up finishing this fight, but during the fight, as you're landing a lot of power punches, was there a part of you thinking, look, I may have to go the distance here?
Honestly, yeah. I did think that I was going to go the distance at some point in the fight because, to be honest, the headshots weren't hurting him at all. He could take a punch. I'm not going to lie. I knew that it wasn't going to be the head, so that's when I started investing to the body.
You have said that every fight since the Mauricio Herrera fight, you have gained more confidence. What does a win like this do for you?
Definitely gives me more confidence to I believe in myself more that I'm ready for a title shot. Just whoever is willing to give me the opportunity. You know, I'm very respectful. I'm not going to call anyone a bum. I'm not like that at all. I respect every fighter that comes into this ring.
It just so happens that 3 pieces of the welterweight title are actually in the building tonight with
really?
Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, both ringside.
Right.
What do you have to say to them?
I don't have anything else to say. I do all my talking in the ring. Technically, I am in the ring right now, but you know what I mean, all right?
For a guy like Terrence Crawford, who does not have a fight book next, would you like that to be your next fight?
I would love that opportunity. You know what? If I get any opportunity from anyone, then of course. And Crawford is possibly the number one pound-for-pound boxer in the world. You know, definitely top 2. And if they give me that opportunity, I'm looking at you, bud. I'm looking at you. If you want to make this fight happen, I'm more than willing to do it.
Do you believe at 22 years old you're ready for a Terrence Crawford?
I don't care if I'm ready or not. I want that fight.
Virgil Ortiz talking pretty bold last night after a win, of course, over Maurice Hooker. Now we take it to Southern California. The City of Angels are bringing the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. And how are you this morning, sir, and how's the godmama?
Well, we're taking care of business, meaning reading newspapers and making up lists and like that.
Okay. Did you get a chance to see that Maurice Hooker fight last night?
No, I didn't. We've been home, and during the day I do my thing, and in the evenings when I'm not reading, we sort of curl up and try to find something good on the telly.
Okay. John Johnson, Buster Douglas's manager, called me yesterday, said he had a long conversation with you, and he was emotional over it. He really got off on this phone call with you. I mean, what did you guys talk about other than the fight? Anything?
Well, it's kind of interesting. He said some very nice things about me over the decades and, sent me a framed, poster of the fight and so on, and he's always expressed thanks that we didn't dismiss them before the fight. Yeah. That the framework of the fight with the troubles that Buster was having with his family and such were part of the narrative of the whole thing, and what made the fight even more dramatic than the fight alone was. And he was always expressed that gratitude that we understood the circumstance of the fight, and we talked about it rather than the fact that 101% of the fans on the planet didn't give Buster a shot.
You know, I will take a little credit there. I was one of the few guys that reached out to Buster before the fight and interviewed him, because I was a hot journalist back then, and I thought it was my responsibility to interview the challenger for the undisputed World Heavyweight Championship, and that's the way I sort of... I was a bit more responsible as a journalist back then than I am now, Larry.
Well, you climbed the stairways to the stars, and now you just make everything up as you go along.
Okay, so, this one I don't have to make up. Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua have signed for two fights. They haven't signed for a location or a date yet, but they have agreed on paper to the two fights. I guess a pretty good split here. They're going to split the first fight 50-50, and then the rematch will be 60-40. I mean, this is like common sense. I mean, why can't these other guys get this together at 147? I'm speaking of the aforementioned Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence.
Because in the case of the heavyweights, A, they're heavyweights, which means it will engage the whole world. Mm-hmm. And B, both of them have proved to be attractions. And it will help both of them to fight each other, and that there's a whole lot of moolah on the table to split up. And they're doing the sensible thing. They're fighters who are going to fight and make money.
Wilder's getting $10 million to step aside. That's why can't somebody pay me to do to not go to work?
I wonder if that's a world record.
that's got to be pretty close, because you and I have seen a couple $3 million, like $4 million go back and forth over the years as far as step aside money and things like that. But I don't think we've ever seen $10 million.
No, but I guess Wilder, with his long career, has earned it, and hopefully he'll use the time from now to then, whenever then may be, to become a better fighter.
Can you, Larry, the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, is our guest. We'll have him for a couple more minutes. Larry, do you envision, can you smell an Andre Ward comeback? Can you smell it?
No, because I don't know who he would come back against. unless it was Canelo. But we have to face the fact that he does, that he was never as big of a draw as he was as big of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much does that generate? Who knows Andre Ward here and there and around the globe? And how much can he make? So I don't know. Maybe it's more important. Maybe he's so well set up that he doesn't have to chase after a phantom of a good, really good payday. And maybe he's just into another life, which I respect.
Okay.
So I'll be curious to see what he does, but it's an opportunity to make a big payday and make a big event, but he's been away from it for a while, and I don't know if you want to fight Canelo, who is at the peak of his career, if you haven't been fighting for a while.
Okay. Next week there's a rematch on TV. I think it'll be on DAZN as well. Dillian White, 27-2, and with 18 whacks, he's been stopped twice. He's going to take a stop by Joshua and the guy he's going to face, Alexander Povetkin, 36-2, one draw. You know, Povetkin's only lost two fights, the one to Joshua and the one to Klitschko, lost by stoppage to Joshua, lost by decision to Klitschko. That's a pretty damn good record, and he's knocked this guy out once, Larry. Does Dillian White come in scared just basically because he's been knocked out?
I don't know him well enough to have observed him in this or similar situations, and whether he loves being in there and wants to go for it, and this might be an opportunity for him to make an even bigger payday. I don't know what his circumstances are.
Okay.
Maybe his bank account is zero, and that will give him an incentive.
That's why I think Maurice Hooker took that fight last night. Money. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Godfather, you and the Godmama have a great Sunday. I thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Pedro.
The one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Larry Merchant, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Do you think David Benavidez could take Canelo Alvarez?
I definitely feel like I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would
right now.
Right now, I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would be a great fight for the fans, too. At the end of the day, people want to see great fights and fireworks, and that's what I give.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
The soul side of town, new stuff from the mighty Tower of Power. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, wow, rocking and rolling, of course, talking boxing the next 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. That's our new channel on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, we took that new channel about 2.5 months ago. Straight up, Artur Beterbiev, the WBC and IBF 175-pound champion, a TKO winner in 10 rounds last night, 16-0, 16 stops. Took on Adam Dianis. Dianis came in at a severe disadvantage. Nah, gotta tell you, he's like a 40-1 underdog. He's a 10-1 underdog on paper. In my mind, I'm thinking this guy's like 35 or 40-1. Anyway, 19-2 with a draw and 10 whacks, not a big puncher, but he got stopped in 10 rounds. Of course, Beterbiev, as I said, 16 in zip, 16 knockouts. He's robotic and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, but he did, you know, knock his man down a couple of times to turn up the heat in the 10th round and stopped it. Bottom line is, I think it was 134 in. Good fight for Beterbiev, although he's not my most exciting guy. In other words, I don't know, robotic. That's all I can say. This fight took place in Russia. Of course, he's going to take on the winner of Joe Smith and Maxim Vlasov. That's going to go down, I believe, in May. So that's 175 pounds. Let's go talk about, 112 pounds, 108 pounds, 105 pounds. These guys getting down lower in weights, of course, jockeys. But the 115-pound title went down last week. Of course, Juan Estrada capturing that decision. Somewhat controversial. Had a 117-111 score on one scorecard. That's like 9-3 in rounds. Of course, it was a close fight. Some people thought it was like 7-5. Could have went 7-5 other way. One judge had it 7-5 for, for Chocolito. And, of course, the other fight, the other judge had it 7-5 for Estrada. And the bottom line is it was split for Estrada, and Estrada got the win. Of course, the young man from across the pond, Wengo Wangasek, that's what I call him. But he's called Slor Rungavasai as well. He's got all kinds of different nicknames, names, aliases. Bottom line is I wonder how many passports that guy got. So anyway, he wants to take on the Estrada, of course, that'll be a bit of a rivalry there, 115 pounds, but they may go Estrada and Chocolito a third time because of the controversy, of course. And if they do so, I think that Rungavai, although he's not going to get $10 million to step aside like Deontay Wilder did, think about that. $10 million to step aside and not fight somebody. And he was talking all that smack. I won't take that money. They can offer me $100 million. I want that fight. That fight's going to happen. You know, Deontay Wilder is just so full of spit. And I mean, spit with an H. It's sad. I mean, all the excuses post fight, the armor was heavy. The armor that he wore into the ring, the costume he wore into the ring. Tyson Fury, had tampered gloves. He was thumbing them. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he came up with the best one was the Mark Breland, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist at 147 pounds. The man at 147. I mean, as a welterweight amateur, nobody was ever better than Mark Breland. Anyway, he accused Mark Breland, his trainer, of putting tranquilizers in his water. You know, the water between rounds, he's sipping, yeah, tranquilizers, Valiums, body relax, muscle relax, or something like that. You gotta be kidding me. And Mark didn't sue him. Mark should have sued him right then and there because I got a feeling that some point in time, a guy's gonna think about having Mark Breland for a trainer. He's gonna see that on the internet and look it up, and Deontay Wilder will say, yeah, you know, this guy drugged me. And you're probably not gonna pick Mark Breland as a trainer. So at the end of the day, I think Mark Breland suffers greatly professionally, and I think Deontay Wilder should be spanked. In fact, you know, part of that $10 million Deontay just got, Mark should sue him for that defamation of character. I mean, you can't say that. You can't say that a guy drugged you. I mean, think about that. It wasn't like, you know, he didn't get me in good shape, or I wasn't running enough, and this thing. And speaking of good shape, Wilder doesn't like to do bag work. He doesn't like to jump rope. I mean, good Lord, man, what does he think he is? He thinks he's some gifted guy. He's a thug. A guy from Mobile, Alabama with a right hand. Outside of that, what can he do? He couldn't masturbate and reach an orgasm with the left hand. I'm talking about Deontay Wilder. Think about that for a second. He couldn't. That's how inferior he is with that left hand. I mean, his jab, it's not a jab, it's not a range finder. It isn't an effective weapon. He just uses that to throw that right hand. Everything's all that right hand. That right hand, right hand. All he is a right hand. Of course, Tyson Fury took that away from him, not once but twice. Of course, the first fight, they called it a draw. That was sad. I mean, Tyson Fury licked them 10 rounds to 2. Maybe 8 to 4, but no worse than 8 to 4. I'll say 10 to 2. All right, say 10 to 2. Whooped them 10 to 2, and they called it a draw. Of course, the second time around, they didn't have a choice. Tyson Fury laid them out. Just starched them, okay? Deontay Wilder talking about coming back, of course, wanting to fight the winner of this fight. It's going to be a while. These guys are locked in a two-fight agreement. I guess they're going to go two fights straight in a row. That's the intent. Both these guys are superstars, and then they can do two pay-per-views or two DAZN broadcasts in a row. Okay? I don't think so. I think maybe you should have something in between. But, you know, just like great rivalries, we won't know whether it's a great rivalry until it happens. This fight could be a stinker. I'm talking about Anthony Joshua, especially if he comes out trying to fight the way he did against Andy Ruiz the last time. Speaking of Andy Ruiz, I guess I'm going to have to start calling him Andy Ruiz again because of the fact that he's getting in shape. I saw a picture of him the other day. Unless they doctored that picture, the fat boy has lost a lot of weight. Props to Andy Ruiz, of course, Andy Ruiz. And I saw that. I keep seeing that picture of him taking that right hand from Joshua when he was like 300 pounds. He went to camp at 317 pounds, and he weighed 287 pounds stepping into the ring. He should have been arrested. He should have been shot right then and there. And what happened? He made $15 or $20 million. I mean, something's so like Wilder with the $10 million, Andy Ruiz with the $15 million for showing up for a fight by allegedly doing blow and doing a lot of booze. Bottom line is, he wasn't ready. He couldn't have been ready if you gave him an extra couple of months. He just wasn't into that fight mentally. He wasn't going to win. That was a stone. I mean, if Joshua wasn't going to fall with the bad chin, he was going to win that fight. No doubt about it. Because Andy Ruiz showed up. What can I say? He looked like he needed Jenny Craig desperately. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC TV. We'll talk about the hottest lady in boxing. I mean, I'm talking about Senesina Superbad Estrada, 20-0 at 8 KOs. Of course, a champion now in a couple of different weight classes. We'll talk about her in depth in the next segment. We're going to the UFC. Open phone lines around the planet real quick. 1-800-878-7529. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out. That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
The UFC was happening last night, of course, in Las Vegas, the Apex Center. In the main event, Derek Brunson, a middleweight, 185 pounds, probably the third or fourth ranked guy in the company, defeated Kevin Holland via unanimous knot across the board, 49-45, or four to one in rounds, 49-46, or 49-46 twice. So bottom line is that went five-minute rounds at 185 pounds. The co-feature ended early. Max Griffin knocked out Song Kien-in. I guess he's from Korea. Knocked him out in the first round, 220 in. It was with punches. Of course, those were guys were fighting at 170 pounds, which is the UFC welterweight limit. In a woman's strawweight bout, Montserrat Ruiz defeated Cheyenne Baez, and that was a decision across the board. Outside of that, not too many stars in the card because, as I said, they're hurting for stars. Of course, next week they go with their main guy. I'm talking about the UFC heavyweight champion. Although he's not the biggest draw, he is the baddest dude on the planet. I'm talking about Stipe Miocic. That's right. As far as the world of mixed martial arts is concerned, this man has taken boxing and created it and taken it, infused it into MMA. Of course, a former Golden Glove champion both in Cleveland and the state of Ohio. So he's fused boxing into MMA. And he's put it together. He's done a good job. Outside of getting knocked out by Daniel Cormier when he wasn't looking, got hit with a shot, you know, underestimated Cormier's power. Outside of that, he's looked outstanding. I mean, the fact that he turned back Francis Ngannou that first time around, of course, Ngannou, a monster come in. He was favored. They had performance enhancing drinks already. I mean, everything but sexual erotic pills for Francis Ngannou. I mean, every product you can imagine. I mean, so when Dana White saw this fight in the second round, the first round, Ngannou looked good. He was looking Stippy like a stab. I mean, Stippy looked like he was about to get knocked out, but Stippy weathered the storm. Just like I used to do when those big guys used to fight me. I used to just grab on and hold on to them. That's all I used to do. Big guys used to grab me. You know, they'd look at me. Yeah, I weigh them by 40, 50 pounds. Just grab me. I would just hold on because they would gas real quick. So, you know, gassing real quick is where it's at. So, as far as Stipe Miocic is concerned, he's hoping that Francis Ngannou gasses again. I don't think so. I think Ngannou's an improved product. I really do. I think that the fact that he's worked on the ground game, I think that he's done enough groundwork to where he realizes he needs the ground and the stand-up game. Put those two aspects together, and I think he beats Stipe Miocic in the main event next week inside the distance, inside the five-minute round distance that is the UFC heavyweight title duration. And the co-feature, Tyrone Woodley, of course, the former welterweight champion, take on Vicente Luque. Luque is favored in this fight. Woodley is a guy that really hasn't delivered much since he was champion and since he lost the championship. Sean O'Malley and Thomas Almeida is in a bantamweight bout. Sean O'Malley is quite entertaining. Karma worthy. How about that? Not worthy karma, but karma worthy. A lightweight from the UFC is taking on James Malarkey. How about that one? A guy with karma taking on a guy with malarkey. I kid you not. Jamie Malarkey, karma worthy, battling out as far as a lightweight is concerned. Of course, UFC going down. UFC 260, Miocic versus Ngannou going down March 27th, 2021, only on pay-per-view. Or I guess if you can find a place on the, you know, like a sports bar or something like that to go watch it. Because then again, you know, $80 for a fight, I don't know. 75 or $80, whether it's a boxing match or even an MMA match, can you really afford that in the way today's post-pandemic economy is going? I know I can't. And I can't afford all these fights. So I go to sports bars. Of course, Ricky's Sports Bar over there in San Leandro, California. Want to mention that Ricky Sports Theater, of course, it closed down. Ricky Ricardo, not the guy from I Love Lucy, but Ricky Ricardo, who owned Ricky Sports Theater. Of course, his father had it at a restaurant. It was an old Italian restaurant. He said, let me convert this into a sports bar. So he converted into a sports bar, and then Sports Illustrated rated it like the number two sports bar in the country. I don't know if it was, but the bottom line is Ricky had a good thing going on over there. We watched the fights for several years. Of course, I got to watch fights with guys like the former owner of the Oakland Rays, can't think over, Al Davis was there, and we were in a private room, and of course, Jack Tatum, number 32, they used to call him Assassin. He was a bad dude, of course, a Hall of Famer. The guy that almost killed Daryl Stingley. Actually, he paralyzed Daryl Stingley, who was a wide receiver with the New England Patriots, in a hit that he laid on him. Of course, a head first hit. wow, that was heavy. And of course, Jack never lived that down. He told me it really hurt him in the end. Of course, I mean, in the end of his life, he kept reflecting on the fact that, you know, he hit this guy so hard, the guy couldn't walk. Although that's part of the game, it still hurts you. Anyway, Jack Tatum died of diabetes. May he rest in peace. So as far as the rest of this UFC card is concerned with Miocic and Ngannou, it doesn't look like it's happening. It really doesn't. If you want to watch the main fight, I think that's a good one to watch. Outside of that, go to your sports bar. Don't give them any money. As far as the rest of the cards concerned, as far as the rest of the UFC cards concerned, I'm looking down the list. Nothing really impresses me until May 22nd. Of course, Corey Garbrandt, good fighter, no doubt about that. Cody Garbrandt taking on Rob Font. That's going to be in a UFC main event with a site to be determined May 22nd, probably on UFC. I'm taking a UFC fight night on ESPN. Now, switching gears, let's talk a little boxing for an extent. I got a lot of heat for calling Demetrius Andrade, boo-boo, a mistake because these guys won titles at 154 and 160, WBO titles. Pedro, how can you deny him? He's won two titles in different weight classes. He keeps fighting for vacant titles. I mean, he's fighting guys like me, okay, and Scott Cuddy, and guys like that. He's not fighting like the upper echelon. The guy talks a lot, man. I've had him on the show in the past, and he's a fair interview and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, Demetrius Andrade, what have you done for me lately? Seriously, what have you done for me lately? You've got two titles. You're undefeated. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you've got some talent, 29-0, 18 KOs. But what have you really done? I mean, any guys you really beat say, you know, remember this guy? Remember I starched this guy? Remember I look really good doing this? Remember? He can't say that. All you do is, like, pontificate about what he's going to do if they give him the opportunity. Well, guess what? These vacant titles, not a big guy in vacant titles. Sort of like fighting for the Golden Glove Championship when they tried to give Golden Glove titles away. In fact, they did when you went unopposed. I never went unopposed, but I don't think I would have taken the title had I went unopposed. You can't take a championship because somebody gives it to you because the other guys, there's not enough guys in the weight class. That just doesn't go that way. Anyway, Demetrius Andrade, not high on my list, is 29-0. He's going to take on Liam Williams. This is going to go down, I believe, in May. Liam Williams, of course, from the UK, 23-2, a draw on 18 KOs. He lost to the other Liam, Liam Smith. That was 154 pounds. This will be at 160. But, you know, Liam, the other Liam wasn't much, and the other Liam beat him. So what I try to tell you, Demetrius Andrade in another type of get-lucky mark time fight. In other words, it's almost a work fight for him. Guy's got a good record, but outside of that, this looks like a work fight for boo-boo Andrade. And I do think he's a boo-boo because after all, I think at 160, he's the mistake. I don't think that he can beat Charlo. I don't think he can beat Canelo at 160. I mean, he's talking about beating all these guys. Speaking of beating guys, man, David Benavidez now 24-0, 21 KOs, of course, coming off the last week, the stoppage of that young man. You can come to fight. Doesn't matter. Benavidez is a stork. He's got these long, rangy arms. He can punch a little bit. He throws punches in bunches. He's exciting. What am I trying to tell you? Going to be a good fight with him and, of course, Jermell Charlo. This fight will probably take place in May. I expect him to beat Charlo. I think Charlo has been nothing but a puffed-up fighter. I think that Al Haymon has protected him for a reason. I mean, there's a reason why you haven't seen Jermell Charlo in any fights against anybody you can remember. Seriously. I mean, the only thing you know about the Charlo brothers is that there's two of them. Outside of that, don't know. And oh, and they got a good looking mom. My mom talks a good game. She's good, like ringside. She's a cheerleader, that kind of stuff. Outside of that, not too much. Last night, across the pond, I believe this was on either DAZN or ESPN. I think it was DAZN. The WBO 200 pound crown, talk about the cruiserweight title, was on the line. A guy 6'6", 200 pounds, 6'6", Lawrence Okoli, now 16-0, 13 KOs, took out Krzysztof Lugowski, former champion, the world champion. Bottom line is he took him out 31-3, 19 KOs. It was a one-sided beatdown. It was just a one-sided beatdown. You couldn't get much one-sided than that. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., remember him? Forget him. The senior. Guy we want to talk about, the old man. Of course, the guy that kicked cocaine, guy that talks about it. He's got rehab centers. He realizes his kid is not what he was, but nobody ever will be. I mean, you can't match them. I mean, one kid lives in a mansion. The other guy lived in a boxcar, a railroad boxcar. How do you compare that as far as hunger is concerned? I mean, senior, living in a boxcar, junior, living in a mansion. How can you compare the two? You just can't. The dedication to boxing was never there for junior. Speaking of senior, he's going to come back against another guy that disappointed the hell out of me. Of course, an offspring of a great champion. I'm talking about Hector Camacho Jr. Of course, the son of the legendary Macho Man, the Harlem Heckler, the guy that I named the Harlem Heckler. He loved that nickname. That's what's sort of cool about that. You know, I would name certain guys nicknames when I was writing these columns, like the Hispanic Causing Panic. That was Juan Lascano. He dug that one. The Harlem Heckler, Hector Camacho dug that one. But some of those other names I gave guys, they didn't dig them so much. But I thank God, thank goodness those two guys rocked and rolled. But Hector Camacho, I got to say this, man. When you talk about the senior versus the junior, I mean, at least junior, when it comes to Chavez, at least he was able to capture a WBC crown and appear to be world class. Hector Camacho Jr., he's like a cartoon character. I kid you not. I mean, I sat next to him at the Tito Trinidad Bernard Hopkins fight, the fight that was delayed by 9/11. Of course, I think it was the last Saturday of September 2001 or something like that. Anyway, I sat with Camacho during that fight, during the entire fight. He said we sat together and we talked, and, you know, I was never impressed with him other than the fact that he was Camacho Jr. Outside of that, there was nothing. I mean, as an amateur, he didn't sparkle. As a pro, he didn't sparkle. And they put him in there with a whole lot of, like, Scott Cuddy type of dudes. You mean, you put these guys in with guys you're supposed to roll over, tomato cans, and you roll over the tomato cans, and they put you with a guy that can breathe just a little bit. Just, they took him off life support for this one fight, and you can't beat him. Because you have no dedication. Camacho Jr. has no dedication. Anyway, Camacho Jr. versus Chavez Sr. in Guadalajara, some outdoor baseball stadium. That's going to go down some type of exhibition June the 19th. And, you know, I want to give this to Chavez Sr. Had a bad coke problem. I mean, a bad coke problem, but he admitted it. And he talked about it briefly, in depth, where he talked about, you know, staying in his room for like 5 or 6 days at a time. And like the entire rest of the family's doing their thing around the house. But he's locked in his room, coked out for like 4 or 5 days at a time, okay? Staying up for a week at a time, things like that. So he admits all these things. And, of course, he's running these cocaine rehab centers, drug rehab centers all throughout Mexico, especially in Mexico City. I think it's 4, I think. Anyway, he had his kid as one of his patients. Of course, the kid had a cocaine problem, too. And I guess you could understand that if you're a dad and you got a cocaine problem, and then, the kid has a cocaine problem. Anyway, the kid never lived up to what the dad was. It's an impossible task. Much like Camacho, it's an impossible task. Neither of those guys could ever come close to equaling the limits, the pugilistic limits. The sky was the limit for both those guys, Julio Cesar Chavez, of course, and Hector Camacho. And when they hooked it up in 1992, I was doing some radio in Las Vegas. Of course, we were at the Las Vegas Hilton, and Don King came to me and said, we need you to do this. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to be broadcasting down there live. He goes, okay, I'm going to send you over a couple of guests. So he sent a couple of guests over to me, and that's when the radio network advised me there was a storm in Boston, and they wanted to know if I could stay on for another 2 hours. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll stay on another 2 hours. So then after those 2 hours, they asked me, they said, you know, our phone lines are messed up. We don't think we can get anybody else on the line. Can you stay with us another 2 hours? So I stayed with them another hour. We did like 5 hours of radio. Finally, I said, the hell with this, and I gave up. And my voice went. That's what it was, my voice went. I remember Tom Starr begging me. Tom Starr, the dead Talk America executive, may he rest in peace, but he was like the Mr. Haney of Green Acres, a con man of con men. That was him. And he was on the phone pleading with me to stay on the air, pleading with me to stay on the air. I wasn't gonna. 5 hours of radio, that's enough, no doubt about that. But those were the good old days. Las Vegas Hilton, 1992. Chavez lights Camacho up like, you know, lit him up like a White House Christmas tree. I mean, he just did. He won most of the 12 rounds, if not all the 12 rounds. At the end of the day, Camacho was a brave dude. He took his beating, and he didn't, he was a man about it. He was. I miss Hector Camacho Jr., Senior. I really do. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, you can always check out the WBC, the World Boxing Council, and their health tips and their boxing and all that kind of good stuff. They got it all going on at WBCBoxing.com. Here's my buddy, Rick Stevens, and You're Still a Young Man.
You're still a young man, baby. Ooh, don't waste your time. You're still a young man, baby. Ooh, don't waste your time.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What you see is what you get.
It's Macho time.
The Mighty Dramatics. Man, they rock and roll, no doubt about that. I miss my man, kind of sad. I really miss both those guys, all those guys. But LJ Reynolds, he really had it going on. Of course, he's still touring if they ever start touring again as far as musical groups are concerned. I'm thinking that the way this pandemic looks, if everybody takes or if more people take the vaccine, this kind of stuff, maybe we can have some good events in October and November. I'm looking at October for throwing some dances as far as the San Francisco Bay Area is concerned. March 21st, 2021. WBC honorable champ. I'm talking about Lee Noble, passed away, of course, after a 7-year battle with cancer. He was a veteran of 47 fights from the UK. The WBC honors him, of course. President Mauricio Sulaiman reaches out to the family with their condolences. No doubt about that. A terrible illness, cancer. In fact, you know, the people that whipped up the coronavirus vaccine, they talk about their next target is to go after cancer. I mean, if they can get rid of cancer, if they could snuff out cancer, man, the world would be a whole lot better place. No doubt about that. Ring Talk, WBCT TV, hour number two. Of course, we'll bring in Cienceta Estrada. Of course, he 105-pound, 102-pound, 115-pound. I think she beats any girl on the planet right now, probably under 125, 130 pounds. And Amanda Serrano, of course, she's going to be in action next week. She probably should be looking in the rearview mirror for this young lady. I kid you not. They call her double bad, superwoman, super bad, whatever you want to call her. Bottom line is we'll hear from her in hour number two. And, of course, Kenny Rainford. Sir Kenneth, I call him Boxing's our UK Boxing Night. Of course, he'll be here in hour number two as well. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, in addition, come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. We also come to you delayed on Sports Byline USA, the Twitch channel. You can also catch this broadcast live, both live and delayed, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, for the video aspect of this show. My name is Pedro Fernandez. This, of course, is only hour number one of two. Live on the same stations you're listening to right now, the same internet feed, no doubt about that, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Bottom line is, stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, coming to you after the news.